Amen. Get your Bibles out. Now, normally on the first Sunday we go, we're going to go into start going into Job and work in Job a little bit. But honestly, after all the things I've seen in the news in the last, especially as it just keeps unfolding in the last week, instead of letting it just aggravate me and I be unproductive, instead, I think we need to talk about it. Okay? If we don't talk about it, then we're going to be like a lot of other people, put our head in the sand. And when it happens, when it's over, we're going to be standing around going, what happened? Okay? So you're going to be aware of what's happening. So, well, first, let me just say this. There was an injured client who had been injured in an accident, went looking for a lawyer to represent him without cost. One lawyer told him that he would take the case on contingency. When the client asked, what is contingency? The lawyer replied, if I don't win your lawsuit, I don't get anything. If I do win your lawsuit, you don't get anything. All right, I tried. Amen. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible at Revelation chapter 6. Next week, we'll talk about Job. Okay? The Lord always does things in a very special way. And again, I believe that it's necessary that we go through Revelation. See, this keeps us from pointing fingers and making accusations. We got the word. I don't have to point fingers. I don't have to make accusations. I got the word. Amen? Plain and simple. This is not politics. This is God. God's got things going. Amen? We got to keep up with what God's doing. Amen? So get your Bible, stand for the reading of the word, Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. Well, let's just go and read verse 1. That's where we started at last week. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on it had a bow and a crown, and was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer, that is, of course, the Antichrist. And when he opened the second seal, and today we're going to talk about the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon thereon to take, y'all say that with me, take peace from the earth. Take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. And we know, God, that you are in command and in control of all things. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to help us see, to know, to understand, and realize that all this stuff that's happening around us was already prophesied thousands of years ago. And it's just really happening right now. And we thank you. And Lord, this week, if there's ever been a time that I've seen the red horse, and this last era with COVID, the red horse, along with the white horse, definitely is on the horizon. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. On the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future's ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. So again, let's just, again, we're talking about Revelation. We're on the red horse. I really, over the years, there's been many times I've preached on the red horse, but it actually became so clear since COVID that it just blows me away. And this is bigger. And let me just say this ahead of time. This is bigger than politics. This is bigger than who's what. This is bigger than Democrat, Republican, Independent. This is bigger than Russia and China and Afghanistan. This is so big. And if we get caught up in politics, we will lose the point and we will lose what God is trying to show us. You've got to stay aware. Go beyond. You got to see beyond the politics and you got to see God's plan unfolding. Okay? So, again, here it is. I'm just going to read it again. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat on thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So just a little continuity here. Again, there's the four horsemen coming down. Okay, Jesus breaks the seven seals on the book one by one. And as the seals are opened, a series of divine judgments are poured out upon the earth and those that dwell on the earth. And it's so important that you understand why the rapture is going to take place. And why, and some people still don't believe that's going to happen, and that's fine. You know, some think it's going to happen mid-trib, post-trib, whenever. We'll just argue on the way up, but we're going out of here. Amen? So whichever way you believe, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. That's beyond that. This is beyond arguing. You believe what you're going to believe. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I'm going to tell you what I believe the Word says. And then you make your own decision. But I believe that's the reason why we're going to be pulled out of here, because when my bride come down that aisle, when Linda come walking down that aisle, she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. And I said, I cannot believe she is mine and I'm her. I would have done nothing to harm her. I would have done nothing to mutilate her, nothing to cause harm on her. We are the bride of Christ, and to God we are beautiful. And I believe with all my heart he's not going to mutilate his bride. And that's why we do it. So when the rapture takes, when the rapture horn blows, it just says with a shout, with the trump of the last trump of God, and the trump of God shall sound. And I honestly somehow believe I can hear it as wedding music. I mean, a wedding march. You know, we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So look at all this. So the four seals describe events that's going to take place the first 21 months of tribulation. So again, now just real quick, as a matter of fact, the service probably won't last that long today, which will be good if you've got some activities planned for Labor Day. When the Lamb opens the first seal, there's a noise of thunder in heaven. And the noise of thunder is signaling to us that there is an approaching storm. That what's getting ready to happen is going to blow us away. I watched this week as when the hurricane hit Louisiana, that was bad enough. But when it went on up north and New Jersey and these places that have never seen anything like this, you tell me something's not getting ready to happen. Amen? So there's a storm coming, and what's about to be unleashed, the world cannot even comprehend. It's like they said, things were happening. You know, I remember when we kept going through our stuff, they said it was the 100-year storm. It only happens once in a lifetime. Well, now they're saying the same thing about New Jersey and those places. This is a once-in-a-lifetime, 100-year event. Again, we're getting ready. Call it global warming. Call it whatever you want to call it. We're getting ready for something very powerful to take place. Okay? So now, of course, this is all I'm going to talk about from last week, and then we're going to go right on in to what's going on. The white horse is the white horse of deception. He's the great counterfeiter. He comes in, and he tries to make everybody believe that he is the Christ. And he's going to wind up deceiving so many people, and they're going to be blown away and think that he is the Christ, the Jews himself, because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. The Jews are going to believe that he is the true Messiah until Satan inhabits him midway of the tribulation period. And when they become hunted, that's when they're going to realize that they made a mistake. Part of the tribulation, listen to this, part of the reason for the tribulation is for the Jews to realize who is Jesus, the true Messiah. It's also for Jesus to take back the earth, because right now the God of this world has a lease on it, but the lease is running short. And when the lease runs out and it's going to run out during this, then Jesus is going to take it back. So here we go. Now the red horse. The red horse, this is such a powerful, powerful thing. We just read it. I won't read it again, but the red horse, the first one was deception. The white horse is the horse of deception. The second seal, of course, is the red horse, and the red horse is the horse of destruction, war. Now, you look around. Tell me if you don't see war on the horizon. And who do we fight with now more than anything? Terrorism. And now, who has wound up having one of the greatest armies in the world now because we left Afghanistan and left all those weapons? The terrorists now they're bigger than one third of our allies now. So we got some stuff going on here, okay? We got some tough stuff going on. And again, this is not political. I'm not even going there. I'm not talking about Biden and Trump and all. No. I'm just laying down facts. The facts are the terrorists now are armed. Okay? So let's get along with this. Let's get a look. The red horse of destruction. Let's just break her down. I want to break it down. Red, of course, symbolizes war. And if you look up the word red, it's actually where we get the word up for fire. So it's talking about fire. It's talking about bloodshed. Matter of fact, it's going to be such a massive bloodshed and raging fires that people are not going to be able to handle it. And so what's going to happen is they're going to turn on each other. So here's what's going to happen now. And this could happen. Listen to me. I know we got to have the white horse come first. I know that. So I'm not saying the red horse is going to come tomorrow. But once the white horse appears, well, we'll go into this. Once the white horse appears, then the red horse comes behind him, and I'll show you why. In 6,000 years of recorded history, guess what? There has been 14,550 recorded wars. That's recorded. That's not counting wars that we don't know about. Okay? And that rate of the recorded wars, actually for 6,000 years, it's averaged 2.5 wars, major recorded wars, a year for 6,000 years. Wow. Think about it. And just in the 20th century alone, there's been over 130 wars. That's why people say, when you say there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and they go, yeah, that's always been wars and rumors of wars. But let me just break her down just a little bit more. Okay? The Bible says in Matthew 24:7-8, it starts talking about what's going to happen in the end days. And he starts talking about all. Let me just get the Bible out and I'll read it. I want you to hear this because this is going to shed a different light. When Jesus is talking about his second coming, you got to remember, sometimes when he's talking about the second coming, we're talking about rapture. And other times when he's talking about the second coming, we're actually talking about when he comes back at the end of Revelation. So you got to know which one. And I didn't write a bunch of this stuff down. So if you're taking notes, now's a good time to start taking notes because I'm getting ready to run you through some of this stuff. And again, remember, if you think I'm up here talking about anything other than the Bible, you're wrong. I'm talking about Bible and facts. Okay? Bible and facts. That's it. All right. So, chapter 24, Matthew 24. And verse 4, Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's been happening the whole time. But then there's going to be the major one, the Antichrist. The others had the Antichrist spirit. This will be the Antichrist. Okay? So the others were Antichrist in spirit. He'll be Antichrist in flesh. There is a difference. Okay? So, it's like when my mama told me when my daddy got home, he was going to whip my butt. All I could think of was his spirit. Once he stepped in that door, I had his presence. Okay? So, there's a whole different thing. All right. So, take heed. Verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In other words, you're going to look at 6,000 years. 15,000 wars. Okay? So now, so watch this now. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Let me break that one down. Nation shall rise against nation. That word nation is ethos. This is where we get the word ethnic. So it says in the last days, ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group, tribe against tribe. What do we got going on now? Everywhere. Everywhere. You know, and all these, the protests everywhere and the riots and stuff. Well, you know, in Afghanistan, the lady said, we're not going to be held down like before. And so they started protesting. Well, that protest had ended real fast. Because the Taliban come up and started shooting in the air. And said, next time it won't be in the air. And so they broke it on up. So ethnic group against ethnic group. You can put it any way you want it. But all over the world, what I see is ethnic group facing or facing off with another ethnic group. Okay? And as it happens and unveils in our eyes and we see it, it just blows me away because this stuff is happening like never before. I know we've had it along the way, but never before like this. So ethnic group against ethnic group, and the famines and the earthquakes. Think about all these natural disasters that have multiplied. People are saying this global warming. It may be. I'm not that kind of scientist. You got one scientist say it is, one scientist says it isn't. Okay. But it's happening. It's here. New Jersey was not even prepared for what hit them this week. And it was the back end of the hurricane, not the front end. It was the back end. So watch this. 75 of these 130 wars in the 20th century were since World War II. Wow. So saying is, get ready. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Every election cycle, you vote for us, you put us in office, it's going to get better, and it gets worse. You know why? It's because this is beyond politics. Way beyond politics. This is not being led by a human government, what's happening to us right now. Why, ultimately, human government is nothing but a puppet to what is happening. Period. Whatever, any way you want to say, whoever they are, it don't matter. I'm not here because Democrat, Republican. I'm saying all of them. They don't realize how we're playing into the hand that's being dealt. It said he went out. It says the red horse said he went out. Now, that word went out means to expose from a secret place. A sudden flash like lightning. Tearing away hope. That's when that word went out. Just went out. Now, went out the red horse. Went out means he's already there. He's in a secret place. But when he comes out, it's going to be sudden like a flash of lightning. And when he comes out, all hope will disappear. That's just that one word, went out. Wow. Then there's another horse, and that was red, pyro, where we get pyrotronics and pyro, fire. And power was given unto him, and that means whatever he needed to accomplish his purpose, it would be supplied. That's exactly what it means. Whatever he needed to accomplish his purpose, and he's going to accomplish it, that's what's going to happen. And he sat erect. He sat ready. He sat. No man can knock him off this horse. No man can knock him off this horse. He is set. He is ready, sitting on this horse. And it said, to take peace from the earth. Now, that's just, again, this is only a couple of verses, so you really got to get into the knowing the history and then putting it to the day and then taking the Greek, and you got to put these all together and you got to build this case here so people can see what's coming. The peace is broken. You see, the Antichrist peace is short-lived. Matter of fact, the Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to be aggressive. So he's going to claim peace, but he's going to be aggressive because it says he comes forth to conquer. And to conquer. And what's going to happen is the world is going to revolt and it's going to lead to World War III. Okay? So now, to take peace from the earth, that word peace is eirene, which means to be, watch this, eirene means to bind together that which has been separated. It means to set a broken bone. It is a medical term. It is also a term of hope. And when Jesus was on the cross, he had broken man. He reached out with one hand and grabbed God and reached out with the other hand and grabbed man. And he put together that which had been broken, that relationship. And what he had done on Calvary will be taken totally away when the red horse arrives. Wow. Think about it. Those that are left behind. Think about it. Jesus reached up, reached down, and put us together with peace, well-being, understanding. And when the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way and the red horse comes, that relationship with the earth is totally severed. So now, watch this. So, peace, rest, and harmony. The opposite of that is chaos and disorder. I remember September 11th coming up, and I remember that day when that happened. I was at Fountain, and I'd gone out and I was checking a boat out on the dock, and I come back in. I walked through upholstery, and everybody was pulled together by a radio. And I walked in, and right to start with, my heart kind of jumped, and I said, "What are they doing?" And I'd always been instructed, if you saw something going wrong, even though it might not be your department, if you see something going wrong, you step in because you're a manager. You step in and do something about it. So I was going to step in and see what was going on. I said, "What are y'all doing?" And they said, "Listen." And they're talking about the first World Trade. The first one had been hit. And so I went upstairs in engineering, and they had a little TV in there. And by the time I got to the second one, or got up there to engineering, the second tower had been hit. And I remember seeing these people run and all the chaos. You remember that? Can you imagine that being worldwide? That's what it's talking about. When the red horse comes, it's going to be like 9/11, only multiply it worldwide. So watch. It says that they should kill one another. Wow. Kill. See, again, World War breaks out, and it said, watch this. Again, I put it down there again so we could just see it. They went on another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat upon it to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. So, the war breaks out worldwide, and there is a worldwide revolt. Now, let me just, before we go to the next one, when it talks about World War, Ezekiel, there's all kinds of debate about this, and so I'm not here to debate. I'm here to tell you what I see. That's it. I'm a grassroots theologian, and I'm here to tell you what I see and what I've studied and what I believe. But Ezekiel 38 and 39 talk about Gog and Magog, and it talks about the wars. And if you look at the timing in Ezekiel 38 plus the timing in Ezekiel 39, and again, some people totally disagree, and that's fine, because none of us have a perfect knowledge. None of us, except for God. Ezekiel 39 is talking about the great battle. 38 is talking about the great battle on the other end of the 1,000 years. And Satan grabs all the countries back together again, and they come up to fight Jesus at that great battle. The Battle of Armageddon, that big old battle, Gog and Magog. Ezekiel 38 is talking about then. But Ezekiel 39, if you look at the timing and look at what it says, again, it's talking about Russia and their allies, Gog of Magog. And you look again, look at all the others there, their little coalition. They're going to, after the rapture, after he that led us taken out of the way, they're going to attack Israel. I know that seems silly, don't it? Because they're buddies with Israel right now, aren't they? Mm-mm. The whole Middle East hates Israel. So Russia and their allies are going to take on Israel, and God's going to supernaturally defend them. And the Bible says, listen, how do I know this is before the, this 38 is after the 7 years and the 1,000-year reign. There's where 38 is, but 39 is before the 7 years, at the beginning of the 7 years. Because the Bible says after God intervenes, that, Israel will burn the weapons of war from the coalition for 7 years. Let me tell you a little something else. I heard that they were experimenting with, and I've needed to do some more research, but I haven't lately about this. But I heard that Russia, because of all the weather and because of the hills and the places where they got to go, they're making artillery. They figured out how to make lighter artillery by using some type of an advanced veneer. So it's very possible that it could burn for 7 years. And it says that it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead from that war. So, it's very possible that the Red Horse will bring in this. So again, the timing, you really got to put all these things together, but 38 and 39 is going to happen. It will happen. It's all about the timing. But from what I've seen and what I studied, 39 is going to happen after the rapture. And the Bible says, I'm telling you, it's going to take, I even wrote it down here. And they that dwell in the city of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the handstays and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying them, that they may cleanse the land. Wow. That's some tough stuff. And so when I saw this and I started studying it, honestly, I know I was still preaching on Job today, but I just couldn't. I just couldn't get there because this just, with all the stuff that's been happening, it just blew me away because of all the stuff that's going on in our news right now. And so let me just go a little bit further. The planet is brutalized. I mean brutalized from this Red Horse. The Bible says that he was given a great sword. Now, great does not necessarily mean he had a great old big long sword, because that's more than likely what he's talking about. The sword used in hand-to-hand combat by the soldier, he wore it on his belt, he pulled it out, and in hand-to-hand combat, he would go up under the rib cage and go up inside the rib cage, and he would just tear your insides out. And so when he pulled it out, there was no escape from that kind of a warfare. So this is what he's talking about. So what he's talking about when he says great, he's talking about the extent, the reach of this. This is not going to be just in Afghanistan. This is not just going to be in the U.S. This is just not going to be in Russia. This is going to be worldwide. It's going to be something like the world has never seen before. You can't even comprehend what is happening. And then the sword, of course, is a short sword used by assassins. So people are going to turn on each other. But you know what? If you look at it, just watch this. This rider divides race against race, class against class, neighbor against neighbor, employee against employer, husband against wife, because he's the master of division. And his spirit is already here in the spirit of Antichrist, but it hasn't been unleashed like it's going to be unleashed when the Red Horse comes. New Living Translation says another horse came out. It was, and his rider was given a mighty sword. And at the end it says that he was given power or authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. Wow. Think about what we're looking at now. The world is ripe for war. I remember the very first time when I was a little bitty fella, I can remember the Vietnam conflict, they called it. It was a war. And I remember every day, Huntley and Brinkley. I remember Huntley and Brinkley. Okay. And Walter Cronkite. And every day, they would show these pictures behind them of helicopters landing in the jungle and taking people and putting them on gurneys and putting them in the helicopters and showing places and showing all the stuff that was going on. And so when I was a little fella, all I ever can remember, honestly, when I think about during that time, there's only two things I can think about. I do remember, I know you're going to say, well, you weren't old enough to remember this. Yeah, it stuck with me. As I remember, I was a little bitty thing, only a couple of years old. But I remember, I'm not kidding, I remember watching a flag drape coffin pulled by horses down the streets of Washington, D.C. I remember that, John F. Kennedy. And I remember every day about Vietnam. And I remember my uncle. I was a teen. I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. And my uncle, we lived in Pamlico County. My uncle came all the way down. And he said, they're shipping me off to Vietnam. And I just want to come by and say I love you. And I remember that. Of course, he came back. But I remember that. But that's nothing compared to what's coming. I remember watching what's going on during the Gulf War and Desert Storm and all this stuff. I remember watching this. I remember when they first started letting the reporters be out there on the field, I remember the Patriot missiles coming. As the Scuds were coming in and the Patriot missiles, and sometimes the reporters would even run as it was hit. And I had a guy I was pastoring was in the National Guard. And he thought if he was in the National Guard, he should be safe. They sent him over there. And he was over there. And he told me, he wrote me and said, man, these Scuds, it's not a joke. He says, I hope those Patriots can catch him. So, again, that's nothing compared to what's coming, because that was all regional. Now it's going to be in our own backyard. So, he's come to take peace. Take peace. He's going to reach right down. He's going to grab it. And on his bed, look, as soon as he appears, all of that stuff, all of that groundwork, all the stuff that Calvary provided for, everything, gone. Wow. So, all hell's about to break loose. It still ain't broke loose yet. It's amazing because it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead from this war in Ezekiel 39. And there's no telling all when the Bible starts talking about, they start just talking about, don't even give numbers. They just say 1/3 of the population, 1/4 of the population. When these people are dying, all hell is about to break loose. Brandon, come on up here, bro. I'll play something softly. Next week I'll do Job again, but I really felt compelled. Because when I hear people talking now, everywhere I go, whether it be hospital, Walmart, walking down the street, everywhere I go, I hear either fear or frustration about what's going on in the world. Today is the day of salvation. The devil's done everything he can over the years to break that Uranae, that peace, but he can't. When the red horse comes out from heaven, it's broke. If there's ever been a time to know that you're right and you're ready, it's now. Everybody stand. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, wow, I had no idea. And you're saying it ain't even got bad yet. It's just starting to get bad with the red horse. I don't want to be here. I don't want to have to experience that. I don't want my loved ones to have to experience that. I'm here to tell you the number one thing you got to know is you're right with God. That every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't have to beat you over the head. I don't have to beat you with the Bible. You know. You know, you know, you know. If you're not where you're supposed to be with God, and you want to make a change, I'm not going to call you to come up here. We're still trying to keep the COVID thing going. But I'm going to let you right at your seat. I want you to put up that hand. So now, nobody's looking around, every eye's closed. Would you just say, I'm not where I think I should be, and I just need to make sure that I'm as close as I should be with God. I want to make a change today for the better. I'm talking to you. Just slip your hand up real quick. Just real quick. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you got loved ones that you know are not ready. And you want God to do something special in their life. We're going to pray for them right now. But if you do, put your hand up. I got loved ones that I know are not ready. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you that you sent your word not only to heal us, but to help us know what's coming. Help us stay prepared for what's coming. And we thank you that we're not alone. Father, we recommit our life to you today in a very powerful way. Help us to make differences everywhere we go. And Lord, touch our families and our friends that aren't right with you. Bring opportunity for us to talk with them. Bring opportunity for somebody else to talk with them. And we thank you for all that you're doing, all that you're doing. And we thank you, God, that we're going to escape the sword because we trust in you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tuesday, we started triggers. And it triggered a lot of discussion. So we didn't even get past. We got about that far on a full page outline. We got about that far. Amen. So come on Tuesday, and we're gonna, and we'll, maybe we can trigger something. Amen. And also.